Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to KLT, KLT HD2 and Odyssey Station. Nick, here is where I politely ask you how you're doing on time.
I'm good.
Okay, good.
We got to leave some wrestling time.
Don't worry.
Yep. So we'll, you know.
I've got to ask
get
you
off well, too quickly.
Just try to ask you the questions you don't want to answer to. Yeah, like, I'll give you this one. Answer in five words or less. Why was it stupid for the Falcons to draft Michael Penix at number 8 overall?
I mean, honestly, each team has to make the decision that they feel is in their best interest. It's interesting, and people probably assume, well, you guys have a quarterback. Like, you're gonna you don't care about quarterbacks or evaluating quarterbacks. We evaluate everybody. I say Michael had a really, really great year. And you look at what Washington did offensively, three good receivers. I mean, Rome went 9. I think Polk went in the second round. McMillan went in the third round. The left tackle went in the first round to Pittsburgh, whether or not he plays tackle or not. And then the right tackle went in the second round to Baltimore. So they were a good offensive team. So it's like, well, you guys need a quarterback. You're really not going to evaluate Penix. Well, who's throwing the ball to Odunze? So whoever that guy is, like, Mike was a really good football player. So Atlanta probably did what they felt was best for their team, and that's what each team has to do. So, well, whatever their decision is, maybe you can call down to it or some of their sports radio shows and, okay, and ask them that same question.
Yeah, they're talking
about it.
Everybody
feels awesome about it there right now.
They're talking about it down there for sure. For sure. Nick Caserio joining us on the program. Hey, Nick, when CJ a couple weeks ago was working out with Stephon Diggs and Tank and John Mechie, when he came back and he did his press conference when the offseason program started, he was very, very complimentary of how John Mechie looks in workouts, like proactively brought up Mechie a few times. Does that match up with what you're seeing, and what are expectations for Mechie heading into year three, but really year two for him since the first year was kind of a washout?
Yeah, that's kind of probably the right way to look at it, Seth. So, no, John's worked very hard. So I think he kind of overcame that first obstacle last year when he was actually able to, I would say, play meaningful snaps and go out there and make some contributions, made some key catches in some football games. So he's carried that, I would say, approach and attitude over into the offseason. So, you know, we've been on the field here with the players for the past couple of days with the coaches, and then prior to that we've had we had phase one. So John's worked hard, he's in good condition. I think he's built up his strength, so I think he's at a point where, knock on wood, he's probably as healthy as he's been. So now it's working on your individual fundamentals and techniques as it pertains to the position and trying to continually improve those. So John's here working. He's got a great attitude. I mean, everybody knows John's a great kid. And hopefully he's in a position where he can build on some of the things that he did last year. But with all of our players, this time of the year, it's about work and it's about improvement. And that's the reason that, you know, the players are in the building where they work on their techniques and work on their craft and get themselves ready to go for training camp. So that's the goal. And John's certainly making progress in that respect.
When you guys put Kenyon Green on IR last year, it was kind of after basically a 2-year stretch of never-ending rehab and injuries. Did he get to the point yet this offseason where you feel like, okay, we can start now from the ground up. We got you completely healthy. Now we can build you into a football player again.
In some respects, it's similar to Mechie. So KG's dealt with a number of things over the past couple of years. Nobody's going to make excuses. He's certainly not, but he's had a good attitude. He's worked really hard. He's in good condition. He's been here. He's been here every day working. He's made progress. So it's all about opportunity. So whatever has happened in years past is sort of irrelevant. So that's all you can do is focus on the now, focus on the present, and then focus on one day at a time, working on your craft and working on your technique. So he'll have an opportunity in front of him like most players, and what the player does with that opportunity is ultimately going to come down to their performance relative to the competition around them.
Nick, is there part of you that's bummed that Nick Saban retired because of how fertile ground Alabama's been for you? Like, I compared it on the show this week. Like, Alabama's like a five-star restaurant, but I just heard the chef left, and I got to wait and see who the new... Now, the new chef, it turns out, as you pointed out, had several first and second-round picks in his time in Washington. But as far as Saban specifically goes, when a coach like that retires at a school that has been a nice kind of breeding ground for some of the players that you guys have taken, what's your reaction as a GM?
Yeah, Alabama's still going to have good players, so we'll still go
this
to
just
Alabama.
In, right?
and Coach DeBoer is a really good coach. I mean, if you go back and actually look at his track record wherever he's been, it's mind-boggling, actually. I mean, he's essentially won at every level and won by a significant margin. Mm-hmm. So there'll probably be some degree of adjustment or acclimation, but relative to Coach Saban, look, you're talking about one of one in the history of college football. So what he's accomplished, what he's done, no one's going to duplicate that. Just his breadth of knowledge on so many topics. I mean, really, he and Bill are very similar in a lot of respects. I didn't really listen to a lot of the coverage, but, you know, you had two of the best coaches in the history of football talking about the draft, so I'm sure everybody loved hearing about that. But I'm sure Coach Saban will still be around Alabama, the program, a little bit, and help Coach DeBoer however necessary. I mean, his track record, I mean, it'll be hard to duplicate what he's done. I mean, it's mind-numbing.
One of the best things Belichick did, he told some really good stories, but one of the best stories he told was the story of trading for Randy Moss and how you guys had to call Randy Moss like three times before Randy Moss believed that he wasn't being pranked by somebody.
True story. What, I actually have another layer to that, but go ahead.
No, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear the layer.
So I've heard that story a few times, but it was draft weekend. So it was whatever night that was. So we had to get Randy into town. So once he stopped hanging up on Coach Belichick, he was actually able to get on the plane. So I think he landed first thing in the morning. So at the time, so Josh was the coordinator. That was going to be my first year as a receivers coach. So here I am, right, like a dumb receivers coach who doesn't know anything about anything. We just traded for Randy Moss. So that room has Moss. We traded for Welker in the offseason. We signed Kelly Washington. We had Jabari Gaffney. Troy Brown was still around. So, I mean, that Dante Stallworth, we signed him in free agency. So here I am, like, that's the group that I'm – because this is before we have Moss. So we trade for Moss. So then Josh comes to me and says, hey, can I borrow your car? I got to go pick up Moss at the airport. I'm like, where's your car? So he took my car. I don't know if he's worried. Maybe Moss wasn't going to fit. So he goes down to Logan Airport. This is early in the morning, probably Saturday morning, whatever it was. So it's him and Moss in the car. So come to find out, in one of the tunnels, I think they almost like had a car wreck. So here's Josh with my car with Moss, who we just traded for, who hung up on a head coach multiple times, like almost getting a car accident. So finally he makes his way back to the stadium. So Randy goes through his physical. So that day we're in the offensive staff room, basically start drawing up routes that we think are going to be conducive to what Randy can do. Now, routes, mind you, that we didn't have in the offense. So we're sort of creating routes that we think Randy's going to be able to run that other people can't run. So I think the thing that people lose about Moss is just one of the smartest, and I've said this publicly multiple times, one of the smartest football players like you'll ever be around. So very perceptive, very good understanding of concepts, very good understanding of space. So that whole thing came together fairly quickly, and then we did the trade. We consummated the trade. And then this is where, as coaches, you have to figure out what do your players do well, like forget about the system. Like, there's no such thing as a system. What are some of the things that that player does well? Can you incorporate maybe some different concepts? And we actually, there was a number of concepts that we hadn't used previously that we ran in games, and we scored multiple touchdowns as a result. But you're talking about Randy was a great player with a great mind, and he was playing for a great head coach and a good offense with a great quarterback. So, you know, Randy had as productive a year. It certainly wasn't because of my coaching, that's for damn sure. But, you know, we were, you know, it was exciting to be a part of that. To be a part of that situation.
Nick, you're doing it wrong. Take credit for it, man. You coached a guy that scored 23 touchdowns. That was all you.
How old were you?
So that was 2007. So let's do the math. Let's 15, 16 years ago. So I was in my mid-30s-ish somewhere.
Okay, so at least you weren't like a kid that just barely started shaving or anything, at least. You were a full-grown man.
Yeah, I think some of the photos from the what you're referring to, I'm probably a little bit thicker. I think I was probably on like Androstenedione or something like that in some of those pictures. I've leaned out significantly.
I got to go back and watch now. Nick Caserio joining us on the program. That's what I need now. I need stories of guys getting picked up when they got traded to New England. I need
there
webcams. I need Antonio Brown. I need Randy Moss.
I don't have a story about that one.
Jabbar Gaffney, you know, drafted by the Texans. I always liked Jabbar a lot.
Jabbar was awesome. Loved Jabbar. Loved coaching him. He was a really good football player. Probably underrated, but really loved Jabbar. Like, he was honestly, he was, I think, in 06. So it was him and Caldwell that year. But Jabbar was like one of our most dependable, more consistent players because he had position flexibility outside to inside. So really liked being around Jabbar, had a great way about him. So he did a good job for us here for a couple years there in New England.
All right, Nick, so here's my wrestling question, and I'm not going to ask you to comment about another team's executives, but we know that in Jacksonville, Tony Khan had a neck brace on selling a storyline pile driver on AEW. I just need to know from you, who in the Texans war room would be most likely or most willing to sell a wrestling angle by wearing a neck brace on television in the draft?
That's a good question. I guess I have to take myself out of it.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, and why is his name Nick Caserio?
Or if Tony and I, maybe we'll have an arm wrestling contest.
I take you,
one of
one.
His
yes.
AEW Friday night. Whenever they do. Was it Friday nights? I don't know when
it
is.
Yeah, Wednesday, Friday. They're on like 4
Wednesday,
days
Friday.
Week.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's 100% Hannah. Like, Hannah would in a, like Hannah would play it up. Hannah would be awesome. And we're doing some kind of storyline like that where she had to wear a neck brace afterwards.
Tag match with Hannah included and her partner.
We'll find somebody.
Well, you guys can come up with that storyline. I'm sure the people love to hear that.
that was a wild visual, man. That was crazy. That was crazy.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nick Caserio joining us on the program. And Nick, I guess the next time we talk to you, we'll probably talk to you between now and the Smack-Off, right? The Smack-Off's in June, I would imagine.
The Smack-Off's in June. Yeah, we'll probably maybe visit here maybe once we get a little bit later in the spring.
Right.
So I'll probably lay low here for a little bit. I think everybody's had enough of me for a while.
What are you going to do? You just going to chill for a little bit, or the work still goes on, right?
Yeah, it's kind of transition. Yeah. So kind of look at where we are with the roster. So kind of make some adjustments and modifications on the fringes if necessary, and then kind of transition to, let's say, some of the 2025 sort of spring scouting, get ready for the draft, which one of the things we're actually probably further ahead than we've been previous years, because a lot of the players that we had already done work on relative to the 24 draft came back to school. So, but there's different things that you just have to deal with this time of year. So, I mean, the pace isn't quite as breakneck, but there's a number of things to get ready for. And probably the first and foremost would be phase three here, when we actually get on the field and kind of start practicing a little bit. So, you know, looking forward to the spring and just continue to build the team here and hopefully make some progress and put ourselves in a good position, get ready for training camp and get ready to go.
Nick, my last actual football question. When Damian Pierce was on with Sean and Clint in the post game, after the game in which he scored that touchdown, the kickoff return touchdown at the end of the year, he was very open and honest about how he's having a hard time really adjusting to and learning this system. And he said that it wasn't something he was going to be able to fix during the season. It was something he was going to have to fix this offseason. Is there any way to really judge like how far he's come with that until you get to training camp, or like where is he on that process?
Yeah, Seth, probably pretty early at that point, because really haven't been on the field, I would say, necessarily running plays. I think you're just working on your individual techniques. But I think the big thing right now is being in good condition, which he is, having a good attitude and having a right mindset and a good work ethic. And DP is all of those things. So I would say just watching him move on the field, I mean, he looks pretty good. Looks like he's in good condition. I think everybody's looking forward to the opportunity in front of them, which is that's all you can really focus on. You can't really worry about what's happened in the past. You can only control where you are here today. So I mean, he's got as good of an attitude as anybody on the team, regardless of what's happened in the past. And he's admitted to y'all what happened last year, but it's a credit to him that he has enough, I would say, self-awareness and honesty to make that assessment. We're glad DP's here and looking forward to what he could do to help our team here this season. You know, hopefully he's going to be a big part of what we're doing. So he's had a great attitude, and you know, he's working his ass off so far, which is great to see.
Yeah, he's a great dude, no doubt about that. Nick Caserio, Texans Executive Vice President and General Manager. Nick, always generous with your time. We really appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you soon, man. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, fellas. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Good stuff. Nick Caserio joining us on the program. Man, a lot to dig back into there with Nick on the draft. The big thing, if you missed it, because it was at the very outset of the interview, we asked him about Tank Dell, and it sounds like Tank's been in and out of the building since coming back from Florida. Good spirits. Nothing specific on what exactly the wound he suffered and how that impacts his ability to participate in some of these May and June activities. And I wasn't expecting that from Nick either.
Well, I'm kind of operating on a no news is good news basis right now, or at least maybe that's just wishful thinking. But just given that all the injuries were minor and that he flew back to Houston the day after all of that, I guess the other part of it too is, you know, they're still, as of last night at least, they were still looking for the other shooter in that incident.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, that's something that the other, like, Tank's going to, you know, the authorities said that Tank was a victim and that he is cooperating with authorities and everything. But that's an ongoing thing in terms of just trying to figure out exactly what happened with the situation itself. Like, Tank's had a very busy offseason when it comes to.
He's had a busy life since breaking his leg in the Denver game, just in terms of stuff to deal with, at least stuff that we see to deal with. Actually, Ben's got it. Here's Nick Caserio earlier in our conversation, earlier this morning, update on Tank Dell.
Tank's doing great. We've had conversations with him. We have visited with him. D'Amico's had a chance to talk to me the other day, so he's doing okay. Certainly making progress. I think he's going to be okay from a health standpoint. So as far as some of the substance and the nature of those conversations, we'll kind of keep that to ourselves. Mm-hmm. But Tank's in good spirits. He's doing well. So it's kind of working through the process. So he's been in and out of the building, which is good. So, you know, right now he's in a pretty good state of mind.
Yeah, that's the big thing to me. Like, he's, you know, not racked up somewhere. He's been going to the building, it sounds like, on a couple of times here. So that's good. So that's good news on Tank Dell. But a lot of stuff to dig back into on the draft. Blake Fisher. I don't sense a bump inside for Blake Fisher to guard, and he kind of alluded to that in his post-draft press conference. But it sounds like he was brought in in a perfect world to be depth behind Titus and Laremy this year.
Right, yeah, that's
the plan.
They really feel like they need three good offensive tackles. I guess if anything, it's really an indication. As he said, and this is where people get upset and understandably so when GMs talk about best player available. What usually happens with most teams is that they've got their board, but it's also like their board is adjusted based on what that guy's role is going to be on their team. So the positions that of need tend to be higher on their board if that's where they have it. So I think for Blake Fisher to be wherever he was on their board, it would indicate that they don't feel super awesome about Charlie Heck and whether he can be the third tackle or not. You know, so that's the big competition is okay. Charlie Heck versus the other offensive tackles out there. Like he's either got to get a step up or potentially be shown the door this year.
I think it's a factor. I also think it's an acknowledgement that Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard are not always the healthiest players in the world. If we're being honest, you know, if we're just looking at, and you know, Laremy dealt with a knee last year. He powered through it. Titus had multiple bang, you know, he broke a hand and then he suffered a knee injury and he's, you know, kind of in and out of things there. And I think it's a statement about that. And in turn, how important it is to protect CJ Stroud, that we can't be trotting CJ Stroud out there with Austin Deculus and whoever else as the right tackle. Like, we got to make sure we've got good players in front of him there. So there was that. I liked your question about Kalen Bullock and his story. It's been fun getting to know this draft class. There's a lot of interesting stories in this draft class.
There's a couple things. I think between D'Amico and Nick kind of really probably getting a good feel for the types and personalities of players that they like. I think in a lot of ways it's almost like, okay, who's a lot like Will Anderson? That's the ideal football player. Like, okay, who's fiery as hell and who loves football, but who also is like a seemingly a solid dude that people enjoy being around and that who cares about his teammates and everything. I like having guys like that on my football team.
Yep.
And then D'Amico kind of the way that D'Amico goes about his business, it just encourages players to just be open in who they are. And nobody's trying to pretend there's somebody else if you've got a locker room like that.
That is a breath of fresh air because it feels like it hadn't been that way in a long, long time. And it is really cool. I didn't get to ask him if he's seen any of CJ and Micah show out there, if any of that's floated across his timeline, Nick Caserio.
I was surprised he hadn't seen as many of the Belichick and Saban clips. I don't know why I'm surprised, but that's the kind of stuff that people, you know, text around to their friends in the league.
Yeah. I give a mulligan on anything 2 days removed from the draft. I just figured he's buried in draft stuff.
Yeah, do you think most GMs after the draft have like just 200 unread text messages?
Yes.
I mean, because everybody, especially, everybody they went to high school with is texting them some inside info
I would guess he's probably got two phones, right? Like, I would imagine he's – I think if you're a GM, you got to have –
What the hell are you suggesting, Sean?
No. That's when you have three phones is what
you're
talking
about.
The
advice I got from multiple veteran players when I first got into the league.
That's three phones. Yeah, two if you're a GM. You have a GM phone and another people phone. All right.
Yeah, I would have one phone for – I would have two phones, one personal. Because you got to keep the do not – you can't put the do not disturb on your work phone.
Amen.
When there's situations that pop up at nightclubs in Florida and whatnot.
Yep, amen.
A private event club.
Right.
Not a nightclub.
Right. All right, the odds are out. What are the chances the Texans get into the postseason? And the Texans are one of the leading conversations around the NFL for this. We'll tell you what it is coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.